an actor, a stuntman, a former police officer, and he's a licensed marriage and family therapist, helping you navigate the difficulties of life. The Joe Sikora Show, Relevant Radio.
I went to a wedding, it was about a month ago, and it was a beautiful affair. I have no idea how anybody can afford to get married anymore because the expectations are so high. It's like, oh yes, we got married, and you know, $40,000 for flowers. And I'm like, oh, I just picked a few weeds, and I didn't really, right? I had a very nice wedding, but it's so expensive. And I was talking to the young bride and groom, and they're very happy, beautiful couple, and a beautiful service, and a lot of money. And then they were talking about the honeymoon, and I didn't want to. I didn't, but I thought this. I thought, you know, the honeymoon does end. They were talking. I didn't say that, just so you know. I was not cold and callous. It's like, gosh, Joe, that wasn't very kind. Yeah, I just said, oh, this is great. This is wonderful. You're going to have such a great time. I don't want to bring you down and say the honeymoon's going to end. But the honeymoon does end. You know, in all marriages, at some point, the honeymoon phase, I'm not talking about the actual, you know, go-to somewhere, but it does end. But here's the good news. Because Cecilia's gone. I know Cecilia probably marriages a few years off for you. And that's a good thing. But you might think, oh, no, not for me. What happens? Where will our love be if those buttery, fluttery feelings leave my whatever? What happens if the excitement is gone? How do you actually keep that kind of real love alive? And I do want to say from the outset, it will change, and for the better. It can. And some people say, marriage is a lot of work. Yes, but the connotation, when I think of it, is like, it's a lot of work. You know, I think back, like, you know, a few weeks ago when I moved 80 tons of dirt from my driveway to all around the neighborhood. That was a lot of work. And that wasn't a lot of fun. And I was really glad it was done. And maybe right now you're in a marriage going, can't this just be done? And maybe that's the wrong question to ask. Maybe the question is, how do I actually return so that I can experience that love, that passion that I once did? Now, again, I could speak about passion for about the next hour and a half. And when I say passion, I mean that firm commitment, that desire to serve, to love, to give, to contribute to the life of someone else, your spouse. That's passion. But sometimes the big mistake that people make is, I just don't feel those same things anymore. I guess you're the wrong person. See ya. And then they, you know, you get into another relationship. You go, oh no, this is wonderful. I feel all those gooey feelings. I'm maybe not gooey. That's just the word that popped into my mind. I feel butterflies and unicorns. Oh, this is great. And then you experience the shelf life, that honeymoon, and you go, did I make a mistake again? Maybe the mistake that you're going to make is walking away rather than rediscovering the happy, joyful marriage that you can have. Is your marriage suffering? I want to talk about some of the simple things that you can do. And if I say one of these things and say, I don't know, Joe, I'm not sure about that. 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Because these are doable. But sometimes you have to remind yourself and you have to remind your spouse that you actually appreciate them. When is the last time, if your marriage is on the rocks, that you said, honey, you know what? I haven't said this lately, but I really appreciate all the things that you do. You know, if you've been married for many, many years, you know, those first days, weeks, months, he, she walks through the door, you see each other, and it's like you experience that passionate kiss. And then a year later, it's like, hey, honey. Oh, you missed my cheek. And then a couple years later, Hey, I'm home. Huh. Dinner's in the oven. What? You know, it's that familiarity. And sometimes that person becomes so familiar, which can be a beautiful thing. But sometimes they can become so familiar that you just take them for granted. And you become too comfortable and too much in a routine. There was a study that was done that showed that nearly half of the men who cheated say it was because of, what do you think? Emotional dissatisfaction, not sex. The cheating came as a result of no connection. They didn't feel connected. They didn't feel appreciated by their wives, which put them in a very vulnerable place. Like, wow, hey, you're really great. You think I'm great? Yeah, I think you're great. Well, my wife hasn't told me that for years. Woody Allen, I don't quote Woody Allen frequently. In fact, I don't know if I've ever quoted Woody Allen. But he did a movie called Annie Hall. And he said, a relationship is like a shark. It has to constantly move forward or it dies. What are you doing to move forward in your marriage? When's the last time you've said, hey, thank you. I haven't said this a lot. You know, you work hard, you pay the bills, you make the meals, you change the diapers, you... Instead, what happens, and I see this, and I've seen this in my own marriage at a time, and I've luckily moved away from it because I'm convinced I wouldn't be married anymore. My wife would have left me a long time ago. But there's something that most couples get to, and it's a killer. I did the dishes last night. You do the dishes tonight. No. You picked out the last car. I pick out this car. You chose the movie. Now, again, relationships are about choosing to serve, to love, to prefer, to lay down, to sacrifice your life for the other person. But when it comes into this cold calculating figures of like, well, we did this, you know, and you do that all the time. It's like, well, I initiated intimacy. It's time for you to do it. It's that tit for tat thing. It's childish. And it erodes the passion, the love, the trust, the connection. Now, if you have to keep score, let's just say, Joe, I just can't help it. I'm a math person. I keep score. I'm a statistics person, like Cecilia. Loves statistics. If you've got to keep score, then keep score of the positive things. You know what? Three times in the past 4 days, you made dinner for me. You did the laundry. You took out the garbage. You kissed me. You hugged me. You asked me about my day. If you've got to keep score, keep score. But what are the things you keep score? How many times she blew it? How many times he let you down? What are some of the little things that you can do? There's one. I know you're not going to want to do this. But God says it's a good idea. In fact, I pretty much think God says, I command you to do this. Be honest. Tell the truth. Even if you're ashamed of what you've done, even if you've maxed out the credit card, you crashed the car again. Sorry, I didn't mean to have that edge in my voice. Just had a flashback. Yeah. Yeah. We have this van, you see. And it's kind of like you can stand up in it. It's very, very tall van. I don't know. My wife thinks it's only 3 feet high. And every time when she goes under those, you know, things that say, don't drive in here if your van or truck is higher. She said, what sign? What van? What? I. And she took the high road, actually. She crashed it once. It was bad. I understand, dear. Then a couple months later, she came into the house. Tell me you love me. I love you. tell me you love me no matter what I do. Yeah, pretty much. No matter what you do, I'll love you. No, no, no. That's not what I said. No matter what I do. Okay, no matter what you do, I love you. Tell me you love me even if I took the top off the van again. What? Yeah, two times. Boy, the insurance company, they are not very forgiving. They showed no love whatsoever. Yeah, we'll still insure you. Just your rates are going to be like quadruple. But practice honesty, even if you think, I blew it. You maxed out the credit card. Now you're hiding the bills. At some point, all these things that you hide from each other, they're going to come back to bite you. You know, you can't afford the trip anymore. Why? I thought we were going to go on summer vacation. Well, we can't. Why? Well, I gambled our money away. It's embarrassing. Or I spent too much. Because if you don't come back and come clean, you're going to erode the trust. And at some point, the truth is going to come out. This is the giant, giant mistake. If you make the giant mistake and you're unfaithful in your marriage, it's a giant mistake. But you know what's even worse? Is when you cover it up, when you don't come clean. Because that's what erodes the trust more than anything. Most couples report, yeah, we could have gotten over this. But I can't get over the continued lies about what you did. Because without trust, you can have no relationship. And if you shut down the communication, then the resentment builds. And it builds and it builds. And then you're seeing somebody like, hey, Joe, you have time to see us this week? My answer is going to be, no, I'm sorry, I actually don't, but I appreciate your trust. There are a lot of good therapists out there. By the way, if you made a mistake, and I wish I do get a lot of emails, and I appreciate you wanting my input. But chances are I can't see you, and chances are I can't recommend somebody for you. But there are great referrals. You know, go to your local parish, ask your pastor, your priest, ask your good friend, ask a family member, saying, hey, I'm in a little trouble. Who do I see? Because you will regret if you don't attend to the marriage, if you don't say, okay, I made a mistake. And chances are, if you're in therapy, you've both made mistakes. Now, here's one, and it might sound a little bit, it's like, oh, Joe, I can't believe you're saying this. It's so, like, worldly. You want to do something to take care of your marriage, take care of yourself. Now, again, I'm not saying it's always about a slender waist. At some point, you're going to wrinkle. You're going to be a little less athletic than you were. You're going to be a little bit heavier. But think about those first dates. What did you do? You actually cared about what you looked like. You planned it out. I only had one pair of cool pants when I was a kid. I remember them. They're like tan pants with, I don't know, they're like cargo pants, which I'm sure are not hip and cool anymore. But man, when I went out on that date with Annie, still remember, I knew exactly what I was going to wear. I was like in eighth grade, you know. But, you know, at some point, you just go, oh, hey, honey, let's go out. Okay. Aren't you going to change? What, you don't like these sweatpants? Oh, I mean, they're all right. Just been wearing them for 3 days. How about brushing your teeth? How about taking care of your health? Again, it's not about trying to look like the TV personalities, the perfect couple. But when's the last time you said, hey, I want to dress up for my spouse? Or I want to take care of my health? When's the last time that you said, wow, you look terrific? How come you don't look like that when you're going out with me? Well, I'm going out with the girls tonight. I say, what? How about me? Now, here's another one that might sound counterintuitive. Like, wait a second, Joe. You're talking about things for me to do to actually strengthen my marriage. And now you're actually going to suggest to foster relationships outside your marriage? Yes, I am. Now, again, within reason. You know, there was a couple one time. This was before I was a therapist. And they had just a terrific marriage. They're devout Catholic, very, you know, they sacrificed for each other. They did a lot of things. And I said, you know, what are some of the keys? And they said, we have some really good friends. It's like, oh, what do you mean? You don't just hang out all the time together? It's like, no, sometimes the secret is some time apart. You know, because when we spend some time apart and we miss each other and we recognize how much we actually want to be together, your marriage, no doubt about it, should be the primary relationship. It shouldn't be like, hey, Friday night's boys' night, Saturday night we go out, you know, together, you and I. It shouldn't be like one night with the friends, one night, you know. No, the primary relationship should always be the marriage. But it's okay if the guys go out with the guys or the girls go out with the girls. Sometimes it comes down to the simple words that you use. Words matter. That ridiculous, stupid saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Really? Who came up with that? James, would you look into that? Who came up with that ridiculous saying? Words matter. Why do you think Scripture speaks so often? Use encouraging words. Lift each other up. Stop the criticism. Stop the condensation. And there are some words that you should never use. I'll never forget. It was so funny. I can't remember the product. I'll never forget the commercial, which, I don't know, was it effective? I don't know. Maybe it was an insurance company. But you remember that commercial, and it was Abe Lincoln, and his wife was, well, a little heavier. Or Abe was thin, right? Real life. And his wife said, basically, Abe, does this dress make me look fat? And honest Abe was like, well, that was a good choice, Abe, because, you know, sometimes you don't have to say, yeah, it kind of makes you look fat. And yet you want a relationship that's safe enough, that you can trust enough, that you can speak the truth. But, you know, you don't want to say, boy, did you see her? Who are you looking at? Oh, that girl that just passed. No, you don't say those things because words matter. And sometimes if you're in a disagreement, other words like you always or you never, that's going to lead to a fight. That's probably words that you shouldn't use because they're rarely true. You're going to say, well, I did last week. Argument's done. Time's done. Think about what you want to say and then say it. Another recommendation. Put the dishes up yourself. Now, Joe, that's good therapeutic sound advice. Yeah, just do the dishes. It's like, well, but they're out. I mean, she always leaves the dishes out. Yeah, just go do them. What? Yeah, go do them. Who cares? But it's unfair. I'm feeling resentful. I'm always doing the dishes. Let it go. Let go of the resentment. I mean, there's big things in life, and there are not big things in life. I rarely oversimplify things, but for the most part, you know, it's like cast the little fish away. And a lot of times, again, you're going to be called to deal with some big things in your life. Honey, I got cancer. I don't know what to do with this. We're going to figure it out. I lost my job. You know what? We'll work it out. We'll come together. Hey, you didn't do the dishes. You didn't put them away. Let it go. Right? If you got a habit like you drained the bank account because of your gambling habit, there you start dating and then you lay and it's like, by the way, there's something I didn't tell you. Yes? What? Oh, I'm in the federal witness relocation program and my name actually isn't John Smith. Okay. Big thing. Big problem. But most of the things, and I can tell you this from personal experience, I can tell this from my education, most of the things that you fight about, if you think about the fights, they're about the little things. You didn't do the dishes again. You didn't take the garbage out. You're late for dinner. You forgot to wash your hands. You left your clothes on the floor. What are you going to say to God? Oh, I got divorced. Why? Well, he just never learned how to pick up his clothes. Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Okay. Okay. Let it go. Because the problem is yours. If the resentment is building up and you're not able to take care of it, it might be nice to say, boy, I really wish that you could stop doing this. But what if he never changes? What if she says, yeah, I still do this? What if your wife continues to leave the lights on in the house after 30 years? Is that her problem or is that mine? Oops, did I just reveal that? Oh, shoot. Let it go, Sakura. It's lights. Yeah, it's nice. If it's not, you know, it's like, but okay. Extra $7 on the electric bill. Not that I can really afford it, but, you know, let it go. The resentment is up to you to let it go. You know, most of the problems in life, they're small. And most of the time, it's your resentment. It's your anger. It's the buildup over the little things. If you could just learn to put the dishes away, I wouldn't be so angry. No, if you could actually just let go and process your anger, your marriage wouldn't be on the rocks. Now, again, I'm not suggesting to suppress the things. Sometimes it's important to say, hey, you know what? You really disappointed me when you forgot we were supposed to go out to dinner tonight. But some of the little things that you see your spouse doing, there's a good chance, and I hate to say this, there's a good chance that in 10 years from now, 20 years from now, they might still be doing the same thing. If you're living this relationship with the hopes that they're going to change, I would say let it go. Because you can handle your resentment, your anger. You can let that go. Sometimes you just got to walk away and say, oh, that's okay. Some of those slights, some of those inconveniences, okay, whatever. Didn't intend it. This is who she is. This is who he is. Practice letting go. God talks about it this way. Forgive. You absolutely must forgive, which means you let go of the resentment. You let go of any ideas of retaliation. You let go of the anger. And you embrace the joy. You see what is good. You let the problem pass. What was that proverb? Let it be. Let it be. Oh, that was the Beatles? Let it be. Let it go. What are the things that are killing you in your marriage? Maybe it's time to let it be. Again, complicated. I don't want to say you suppress things. If you're angry, if you're resentful, if he is still doing the same thing, maybe you got to let it be. Learn how to let go of your own anger and resentment. Relationships don't stay the same. You know, whatever you're working to improve will grow and strengthen. And if you don't do the smart, wise work of your relationship, it's not going to grow. It's going to suffer. And it's going to lead to death. And the truth is, just like every other living organism, life has its ups and its downs, its ebb and its flow, its peaks and its valleys. I can't think of any other metaphors to use. It's loud and quiet moments? I don't know. But sometimes, again, you're going to have thoughts. It's like, what would I do if I ever lost you? And then the next week you're going, what do I do if I have to spend the rest of my life with you? Then what do you do? 888-914-9149. What are the little things you can do to strengthen the relationship? We'll talk about it next.